Begin the current daven set. Yavam is daf chav beis. Begin 7 lines down from the time of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which really goes back 2 daf before to the Mishnah. That is, the Mishnah said, as we had opened up the Masechta, there's specific halachas regarding the mitzvah of Yibum, as it applies to an erva. Now, an erva dei raisa, which is somebody that's chayiv karas, so that way he said in the beginning of the Masechta, they're pater, they're exempt from chalitza and from Yibum. However, the Mishnah daf chav said, something that's iser mitzvah, iser kedusha, there it's going to be chaylatzes v'loy misabemes. You can't do yibum, but you have to chalitza. So the Mishnah explained, what is the iser mitzvah? It means, shniyis m'divri seifrim, there are certain arayas that the Rabbanan introduced, where although biblically they're permitted, but as a rabbinical prohibition, so that one does not come to violate the biblical erva, they created these shniyis. Now, on the previous stop, the Gemara brought a brisa that said 8 cases of what would be considered shniyis, and we alluded to on the bottom of the previous stop regarding the brisa of Reb Chiya, which mentions 6 other ones, and that's what the Gemara continues quoting now. Tan Reb Chiya was taught in the brisa of Reb Chiya regarding these 6 women that they're also going to be rabbinically forbidden because of shniyis. They are shlishi shebibnoi, the 3rd generation of his son, meaning his son's son's daughter, because his son's daughter is an erva. So you take it 1 generation further, which takes it to the 3rd generation, that is going to be a rabbinic one. Similarly, b'shebebitay, by his daughter, which is his daughter's son's daughter, because again, his daughter's daughter is an erva, so therefore you take it 1 generation further to the 2nd generation, that's going to make it to the 3rd generation past, that's going to make it into an erva too. Similarly, that's regarding his son and his daughter. You have the same thing by his wife, b'shebe ben ishtoi. You have by his wife's son, that similarly, rabbinically, we're going to say that his wife's son's daughter, and also b'shebe bas ishtoi, something applying by his wife's daughter, which would make it his wife's daughter's son's daughter. Again, the same thing would be applied, would make a shnius, because since biblically, his wife's granddaughter, whether through her son or through her daughter, is a biblical prohibition of Isha Ubas Bina or Bas Bita. So too, by his own children, his grandchildren are going to be biblically prohibited as an erva. So therefore, rabbinically, we take it 1 generation further, as we explained in the previous daf, since if you went back 1 generation, it would be biblical, so we make rabbinically the next generation afterwards. Similarly, Revi Isha Bechamav, the 4th generation from his father-in-law, meaning going through his father-in-law 4 generations up, which would make it his father-in-law's mother's mother, his father-in-law's grandmother. Now, the reason why that's called the 4th generation is because if you start from his wife, this man's wife, his wife, her father, that's his father-in-law, his mother, and her mother, that's 4 generations. And so too, Bishab HaMoisev, his mother-in-law, which is his mother-in-law's mother's mother, they are going to be considered Shnia also. And that is that because, as we said before, his father-in-law's mother and his mother-in-law's mother are ervis because they're included in Isha Ubas Bina or Isha Bas Bita, because the grandmother, whether it be his father-in-law's mother or his mother-in-law's mother, her and her grandchild, which is his wife, would be the biblical prohibition of Isha Ubas Bina, which is either her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. Therefore, their mother, meaning the 4th generation up, his father-in-law's mother's mother or his mother-in-law's mother is also going to be rabbinically prohibited because of Ishniyah. Now the Gemara asked, Omele Ravina Ravashi, he says, just regarding the actual vernacular of the Brisa, he wondered, Maishna Lamaila, why is it different when we were going upwards in generations, where we called the father-in-law's and the mother-in-law's grandmother, we called them a Revi, the Kachash of Leila Ishte, where as we said before, his wife, this man's wife, is calculated in the numerics to making it 4 generations up. It's only 4 generations up. If he start, his wife is the 1st generation, her father or mother, then that mother, and then the mother's mother, that makes it 4. But a Maishna Lamata, why when we're going downwards, descending in the lineage, where we're considering his son's granddaughter, that's going to be considered only as the 3rd generation, and the Leikachash of Lalishta, where they were not going to be considering his wife to make it into Revi, because same thing, is do we start first horizontal? Do we first go linear in the sense of you go to the wife, and then you go downward? There's the wife, her son's son, and the son's daughter. That would take it 4 generations down. Why going up do we count her to make it Revi, and going down we don't? We only consider it as Shlisha because we start from the children as the 1st number. So that the Gemara answers is because Lamaila, the Isur Mikoyach Ishtekasi, when we're going upward, meaning the father-in-law's mother-mother, the mother-in-law's mother-mother, the whole Isser only starts because he's married to this woman. That's how he's related to his father-in-law, mother-in-law. So Chashav Lo, so she's considered number one, then two, then three, then four. Lamata Disur Allah Mekoyach Ishtakas, but going downward, where the prohibition is not from him, as the Gemara will shortly explain specifically regarding the first two of Shebeb Noi v'Shebeb Bitoi, it's not because she's his wife, that his children and his grandchild, and therefore rabbinically his great-grandchild is forbidden to him. It's because of his own, meaning because, as Rashi explains, the case of his son and his daughter is actually told about even by Anusa, even when it was out of wedlock, where it has nothing to do with this woman. Maybe she just mothered and conceived the child, but it's not because it's her child. It's his child, and therefore, like a chashabla, therefore she's not counted because she's not in the equation at all to make the prohibition. It doesn't have to be, quote, his wife, to make them the Isser of the generations downward, and that's what it's only counted as number three, not number four. But the Gemara asked, that takes care of the first two cases. There were six cases. The last two, we counted the wife because the father-in-law, mother-in-law is only prohibited because of his wife. The first two, we didn't count her because it's his own children. But the middle two, ben ishtoy u bas ishtoy, when it's his wife's child and it's his wife's daughter, the isur mekoyach ishtoy kaser, where there the whole Isser is based on his wife, and there it doesn't count. Why doesn't it count? As would be there. The whole reason why the grandchild is forbidden in that case is because it's Isha, his wife, or Bas Bita, and therefore we make another generation, which is the fourth generation. So why do we not consider it as four? The Gemara says, I did the Tanish Lesha Doris Lamata di Day, only because the first two that we started off with were descending downward, and we didn't count it, as we said, because that's now relevant to his wife. It's even if it was out of wedlock. So when we consider going in descending order and it's coming from her, we still didn't count it, although technically there also it should have been four like it is when it goes upward. We didn't count it, and rather we kept the same uniformity of the first two cases of considering it as Shleisha Deris Lamata and not Revi. Now the Gemara asks, Umali Rav Ashlev Kahan says, Shnis de Reb Chiya, these secondary arise that Rabban Wagayz are in the cases of the Brais Reb Chiya that we just mentioned. Yeshlan Hafsik, do they have an interruption, or Ainlan Hafsik, or do they not stop? Now this is a question that we discussed in the previous staff. Meaning, do we say that we're concerned, we're not allowing you to marry your father-in-law's or mother-in-law's grandmother? Why? Although biblically that's okay, because if you go downward, you're gonna that one generation lower, which is could be confused, a grandmother or his mother, that's already a biblical erva. So it's even the grandmother. Now, would that say also that even the great-grandmother should be forbidden? Because then you might come to do the grandmother, and then the mother, which then might come to biblical. Or do we say not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, I'll bring your raya, that there is no hefsek, and that it does continue infinitely. The mother's mother, mother-mother, keeps on going upward or downward. Because the Amar Rav, Rav said, as we quoted him on the previous daf, says, Dal nashim yeshlim hefsek. There are four women from the secondary arise that they stop. Besulai. That sounds like, but there are no other ones, which would mean that these six Reb Chiya are also from those that don't have a hafsik and do continue. I'm thinking Rav says, no. Dema ki kama Rav, maybe when Rav says there's only four, was lahi masnita. That was going on that Brisa that we mentioned in the previous daf. The Brisa says, what are the shniyas? On that Rav said, four of them have a hafsik, but no more. But those Reb Chiya he wasn't going on, and therefore maybe regarding the Brisa Reb Chiya, he would agree that there would be others that would have a hafsik. So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, because we learned in this Brisa, if one analyzes this Brisa Reb Chiya, he said that Shlishi, three generations of his son going downward, Urevi, and four generations going upward through his father-in-law, that sounds like Shlishi Revi in, only the third generation down, or the fourth generation up, but Tveiloi, but no more, meaning because it does have a Hefsek. Third generation is one removed from the biblical one. Fourth generation upward is one removed from the biblical one. Therefore, we make it as a shnius, but any more would be too far removed, and we wouldn't. And then the Gemara says, no, that's not a right either. Because Dilma mishlishi ve'elech mirvi ve'elech, what it means to say is, from the third onward, from the fourth onward, meaning to the second, there's no need for it. That's already biblical erva. So it's saying, but from number three, that is already going to be beginning the shnius, but it's not a right, that's where it ends. Maybe that's just where it begins. Now, Tosa actually wonders that, how can you say that there would be a hefsek if the case of his son's daughter-in-law is forbidden till kol hadoros, as we mentioned in the previous daf? So you would imagine that his son's daughter for sure should be usher for all generations, because that's actual a blood relative, and that's not even through marriage. If the son's daughter-in-law which is through marriage, is forbidden forever because that might come to be his own daughter-in-law. So by his son's daughter, how could we entertain that that's not going to be Lailam? So that Tosfos is actually an interesting svar. He says that no, the daughter-in-law might be more stringent because she's actually in that family because she's married to the husband. Now, the husband are from those that inherit, and therefore they're more commonly found around this individual. But actually, his son's daughter, who doesn't inherit him because she's married to somebody else, is not going to be commonly found by him, and therefore there's no reason to be so concerned. And maybe there actually would be a hefsik because there's no reason to be concerned that it might come to the biblical era. Now the Gemara continues on this topic of Shnius, of the second year arayas. Amalei Rav l'Rav Nachman. Rav said to Rav Nachman, he says, Chazi mar haim rabbanon d'asamim rav. Did you see this, one of the Talmudic scholars who came from Eretz Yisrael? V'amani said that by Bim Rav in Eretz Yisrael, they had the following question. Gazer Shnius begirim, did they make the decree of second year arayas by a convert? And that is, if let's say the ger, the convert, before he was Megayer, before he became a Jew, was married to his grandmother, his mother's mother. Would we say that now that he's Jewish, he has to go ahead and divorce his wife, who is his mother's mother, because she is considered a shnia? Or were we not geizer shnias by gerim, and that is, he could remain married now that they both converted to Judaism? Could he stay married to his mother's mother? Samalei, so he said to him, Hashta, I don't understand the question. Uma erva gufa, if a biblical erva itself, let's say this ger was married to his mother. Now, meaning when they were non-Jewish. Now, ilav shloyem, if not, that people shouldn't say, oh, wait a second. Boin mekadush chamura, are you telling me that this non-Jew came from a more stringent sanctity? Meaning, because even non-Jews are prohibited on arayas, on illicit relationships, they're not allowed to marry their mother, their daughter, all these types of cases. And now they're coming, lekadush akala, they get becoming Jewish, and they have a more lax, lenient type of sanctity, because actually, the halacha biblically would be that he's allowed to stay married to his mother when he becomes Jewish. Now, we don't want people to say that, wait a second, up until now, non-Jews couldn't be married to their mother, and now they're Jewish, he could be married to his mother? So, if not for that people should say such a statement, like Gazer b'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would not have made the gezeira that he would have to divorce his mother when he becomes Jewish. Now, the reason why they wouldn't have made a gezeira is actually, biblically, he could stay married, because the halacha of a ger is like he's a katan shenayla, as if he was just born. Meaning to say, he's not related to anyone that he was related to when he was a non-Jew. Hence, his mother is not related to him. So actually, biblically, he could be married to her. But we don't want to remain that with that marriage, because people are then going to say, that's so interesting. You mean to say when he was non-Jewish, it was a more severe halachas, and now it's more lenient? So it's only Rabbana Geyser. So Shnius Mibayi, would you entertain to say that Rabban are going to say that even the second year arayas would apply to Ger? Even the biblical arayas don't apply to the Ger. We only make a Gzer so that people shouldn't say that they're coming from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala. But for sure, the Shnius are, we're not going to be Gezer because even the biblical ones wouldn't apply. Now, Amr of Nachman, Nachman said that the Gerim, this topic of Gerim that we were just talking about, Hoyal Basliyan, since it came to our discussion, Nimhu Behu Milsa, let's say a halacha related to converts. Achen, if you have brothers that converted, that are mina'im, they're maternal brothers, then lo yi'idu, they should not say testimony in court, likatchila, initially. And that is because regarding the relationship of non-Jews through their mother, that now they converted, but they're maternal brothers, they were considered on some level related. And that's because most definitely the mother that they share is their mother, because one can see that they came out of the same womb. So therefore, they were considered related. So therefore, although now they're really kikot and shenay l'dami, but l'ketchila, since we view them as they were relatives up until now, we shouldn't take the testimony because we can't have testimony from brothers. Now, v'im ha'idu edus and edus, but if they do say testimony, then it's a considered good testimony. Again, because biblically, they're considered like they were born again and they're not really brothers. However, achin mina'av me'id l'ketchila. If they were just paternal brothers, then they could l'ketchila initially come, no problems, and say testimony together in Bezdin. The reason is because the Torah considers the brotherhood through fathers, through paternal relationship, as if it was not a relationship. As the Pasuk says in Yecheskel Chav Gimel, that they're considered like children of horses, and therefore that relationship is not a relationship, and they're not considered as brothers at all, and therefore they could come into Bezdin when they become Jewish, no problem. Now, Meim Amar, he argues, he says, no, there's no problem. Even maternal brothers can come and say Edus, because, again, they became like new Jewish people, they're like newborn, they're not related at all. Now, that the Gemara asked, what is the halachic difference between Edus, Me'arayas, from Arayas, where later on the Gemara says in Avtzadeh Chesamet Aleph that a ger that was married to his maternal sister has to remove her, has to divorce her, and can't stay married to her when they become Jewish. Now the question is, why is that different over here? If you're saying, we're not, if even like a Tchila Meimer says, we're not concerned with maternal relationships because it's Kekut and Shanel dummy, so why then by Arayas are we yes concerned? So that the Gemara answers because there's a fundamental difference between them. Because Ervela Kol Mesura, Arayas is something that pertains to everybody, meaning everybody marries women. Therefore, if we permit this convert to stay married to his sister, his maternal sister, people are going to say that sisters are permitted. Because not everybody knows this halacha that a ger is like he's a newborn person. They're just going to see, I see a Jewish person married to his sister. Maybe it's permitted. And therefore, we say that yes, he can't stay married to his sister. But Eidus Lebez de Mesurah, testimony, who accepts testimony? That's only by the courts. Now, even if we're going to permit maternal brothers that converted to say Eidus, they're not going to come to permit Jewish brothers to say Eidus in the Beis Din, because Beis Din knows that the reason is because Vegershin is Ger, Kekut and Shanel dummy. A Ger is different, because a Ger that converts, non-Jew that becomes a Ger, he's like a newborn child, and therefore, although he was related even somewhat maternally, because did we know for sure they were brothers, that was only when they were non-Jews, but now when they became Jewish, there's no relationship whatsoever, and therefore he says, even in Ketchila, we could accept testimony from maternal brothers. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the halachas of Yibam, specifically as we open up this parak regarding the halachas that apply to the different types of halachas in the brotherhood. As the Mishnah explains, Mishri yesh le'ach mikal makam, if somebody has a brother, in whatever circumstance that it is, which the Gemara will explain what is that coming to include, then zaykik es eishes achim le'yibam, so that brother, no matter who he is, mandates this bond of his brother's wife, who dies without children, for the halach of Yibam. Now, moreover, va'achavu l'chol dabi is considered his brother for every halacha, which I'm going to explain what does that mean. Chutz, however, there's one exception who's not considered a brother. Someone that has a brother from a maidservant or from an idol worshiper, that is, if its father had relations with a maidservant or a non-Jewess, then actually the halacha is that that child takes the matrilineal descent and it becomes based after the mother. And so although they're brothers from the father, which generally Achim and Av mandates Yibum, however, since the mother over here is a non-Jewish woman, then they'll not be considered brothers and therefore will not mandate Yibum and won't have the halacha of all the halachas of a brother. Similarly, Mishlishli ben Mekamakim, someone has a son in whatever situation it is, so then Paiter Eishes Avim Mina Yibum, then this child, no matter who he is, exempts his father's wife from Yibum, and therefore she doesn't have to have Yimachalitza from his brother. B'chayv al-makasav ha-kalasai, also that if this child hits or curses his father, he's chayv misa, and ubenoy l'chol dava, he's considered his son for every halacha, chutz mishli yeshli ben min ha-shivcha min ha-ibetz kechavim, unless if the son is from a maidservant or idol worshiper, and that is a maidservant is a little bit different, although she has the halachas in some level like a Jewish person. However, there the halacha will be different, that it will not take on the halachas of his son, rather, it's going to be considered her child. Now the Gemara asks, Mikom Makom Lasu Yimai, when it says that if someone has a brother, whatever the situation is, he's considered his brother to make the bond of Zika to his widow, what does that come to include? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Lasu Yimam, it comes to include an illegitimate child. Now, Taisus asks, we already know this from the previous Mishnah Daf Chav, that spoke about a Bas Yisrael Tanasin or a Mamzer, that there is Chalitza, although you can't do Yibam, but we see that it is in the Halach of Yibam. So Taisus says, over there, I would have thought it's only if they're both Mamzerim. But if the brother that died was a Kashra person, then his brother, a illegitimate child, would not make Zika, and that is what our Mishnah is being Mechadish. Mikal Makim, no matter what the circumstances are, the Mamzer brother will make a Zika. And I think my Pshita, well, it seems pretty obvious. Achavu, he is his brother. They share the same father. So why wouldn't that be included in the mitzvah of Yibam? The Gemara says, no, because Ma'adetem, I would have thought to say, Leilaf Achva Achim Me'yakib. We would learn out from the brothers, it says Achim by the sons of Yaakov. It says Achim over here by the mitzvah of Yibam. Ma'alahal and Keshem Le'bsulim, and that's actually where we know that has to be from the patrilineal, has to be the paternal brothers. That just like over there, all the brothers were kosher and none of them were illegitimate. Afkan Kshem Lipsun here also, the mitzvah of Yibam only applies when they're kosher, not when they're pasul. Kamash Mullah, that's why Mishra is being Mechadish. It's not so simple. But we're saying that even though he's a mamzer, the mitzvah of Yibam will apply. I think Gemara asks, why don't you say that actually that you do learn out from the Yaakov, like we do the mitzvah of Yibam, and say that it has to be kosher, not pasul? The Gemara says no, because kiven dele in yibum miftar niftar, since regarding the mitzvah of yibum, if this man that just died without any children, if he has a son that's a mamzer, he will exempt his wife that became the widow from the mitzvah of yibum, even though he died now from this wife without any children, she'll be exempt because of this ben a mamzer, which as the Gemara will explain in Amud Beis, that's learned from the drasha of ben ein loy, meaning ein love, even if he's a mamzer. So therefore, as we continue to Amud Beis, miskak nami zakik. So therefore, he will also create the bond of zika, meaning if the brother of the person that just died without any children is a mamzer, he'll make a zika to this woman, even though he's the only brother. And that is what the svar is that if the mamzer will exempt from yibum, meaning if he's the child of that person that just died, so too he can require zika. That is, if he's the brother of the person who just died, he'll make the mitzvah of yibum. That's the svar the Gemara is saying, as we'll explain how we know that he exempts. But if he exempts from yibum, so then he also mandates yibum, and therefore there's going to be a zika, even if the brother of the one who just passed away is a mamzer. Now the Mishnah also said, b'achav hu l'chol davar. As we said, that it's a reference to a mamzer, illegitimate child. He's his brother for every halacha. So the Gemara says, my halacha, so what halacha is that coming to include? That's liyarshul tamalai, to inherit him, or to make one's tamei to him. That is, if let's say a person is a kohen and he has a brother that's a mamzer, so then if that mamzer dies, he could be matam himself, since he can matam himself to his relatives, which includes his brother. So that we're saying he's his brother, even for that halacha being matam to him. So he must pshita achavu. It's pretty obvious. He's his brother. Why would you think that the kohen cannot be matam to him? That the Gemara says no, because salkita tachmin. I would have thought to say hayolik siv, since there's a pasuk in Yikra, the kohen could only be matami to the relatives that are close to him. Now, the master said to explain that she'erizu ishta, that although it says the seven kravim, when it says his flesh, his relative, zuishta, that's a reference to his wife. Now, uksib, it also says over there that the kohen should lo yitame bal ba'amav. He should not make himself tame, the husband, to his people, lehechale, to the one who desecrates him. Now, what does that mean? So the explanation was that yesh basu metame, there is a husband that could be metame, because we said she'erizu ishtoi, one is metame himself to his wife even though he's a kohen. But yesh bal she'ein metame, as we see from the other pasuk, de lo yitame bal ba'amav, a husband should not make himself impure to his wife. So haketzad, how do we resolve that? So the answer is metame hu leishtoi k'sher. Which type of a wife are you metame yourself? If she's a legitimate wife, ve'ein metame leishtoi besula, but he's not metame himself to an illegitimate wife, meaning if, let's say, she's a divorcee, which is forbidden to a kohen, so though halachically the kedushin will be typhus, he'll be considered married, but it's illegitimate marriage, and therefore, such a wife, one is actually le'yitam ba'abamam, who is le'hechal, who desecrates him. So therefore, the Gemara says, I would have thought hachinami metame hu la'ach kosher, he would be metame himself only to a kosher brother, a legitimate child, ve'ein metame la'ach posel, but that he would not be able to be metame himself to an illegitimate child, kamash malon. That's the chiddush, that even for that halacha, liyarsha l'tamala, even though he's a mamzer, even though we see that there is such a differentiation as we see regarding one's wife. So the Gemara asks, v'emochanami. So why don't you say the same difference as the wife? Maybe that should be the same thing by the brother, that one should not be metamed to the mamzer. But the Gemara says, no, there is a difference. Hasam lafuki kaima, by the wife, she's ready to be removed, meaning essentially the halacha is you're not allowed to stay married to her. And therefore, as Rashi explains, we don't view her as, quote, ishtai. She's not really his wife. That's why such a woman, you cannot be metametar. If she was your wife, then of course you metametar as she'erizu ishtai. But hacha achivu, here, he's your brother. He will always be your brother. You can't divorce your brother. And that's why the halacha that our Mishnah is being mechadish is that even though he's a mamzer, one will be metametim even though he's a kain. Now the Mishnah said, however, although everyone's considered a brother, except if someone has a brother that his father had relations with a maidservant or with a non-Jewish, there that will not be considered his brother. So I think that's my time, and what's the reason? So I'm a crowd because the pasuk in Shemais that's in the context of the Shivcha, where if a Jewish man has relations with the maidservant, it says, that the woman, meaning the maidservant, and her children will be to her master, and therefore we see that that does not take on the paternal, it doesn't become his children, rather it's the master's, meaning because it's the maidservant's children, and she's considered, the child is considered not after the father, but after the maidservant. Now, that's, but she still has halacha of whatever Jewish relationship that is that the maidservant has. But again, it goes matrilineal, not paternal. Whereas Rashi says, regarding Avoidus Kachavim, which the Gemara doesn't explain, that the Gemara in the coming daf will explain from the Pasuk, Ki Yasa is Bincha Me'acharai, where we see that the child from the non-Jewish woman, although having relations with a Jewish man, will be considered non-Jewish, again, after the mother, but not after the father. And that's why, again, those two cases are not considered his brother, not for the Halacha of Yibum, not considered his brother at all. Now, the Mishnah said that Mishayeshli Ben Mekom Makom, and it went in moving from brother to son. If someone has a son, whatever the circumstances, then Paita, then this child exempts the father's wife from the Halacha of Yibum. Now, the Gemara asks, Mekom Makom Lasui Yimai, what is this in whatever situation coming to include? So that's Amar Yehuda Lasui Mamzer. As we said regarding the brother, the same thing is regarding the son. It's coming to include an illegitimate child. Even then, it's going to be considered that he has a child, and therefore, one does not have to do Yibum Chalitza to his widow. So Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason that we're including the Mamzer? Meaning, because the brother, we said, is only because of the son. We said if he could exempt from Yibum, he can mandate it. But how do we know regarding the son? So that's the Amar Kreb, because as the Pasuk says in Devarim, the Pasuk says, this is the Pasuk of Yibum, Chafei Hei, Ki Yeshu Acham Yach, the brothers will be dwelling together, Umeis Echemem, one of them dies. So it says in the Pasuk, Uvein Ein Loi, and he doesn't have a son. Now, as Rashi explains, it could have said Uvein Ein Loi, without a yud, as we find the Gemara in Kedushin says that there's many psukim ein kasef, or as it says in Devarim Chafei me'ein yavami me'ein bilam. It could have said the word ein without a yud. Now, so why does it add the yud to make a drasha? Ayin olav analyze on him, meaning it's like as if the ayin and alf could be interchangeable. So with a yud, you could read it ayin analyze, meaning check if he has any child. Meaning, although generally you would say no, he has no children, but check. Maybe he has an illegitimate child, and even then that's going to be considered that he has a child, and then therefore that would not be included in the mitzvah of Yibum Chalitza, and that's what the Mekom Makom is coming to include from the pasuk of Uvein Ein Loi. Now, moreover, the Mishnah said that V'chayiv, this child who was Mekom Makom, which we said is a reference to the Mamzer, is liable al makasa if he hits or if he hurts his father and causes blood to come to the surface. That the Gemara asks, am I, why is it? If it's actually a reference to a Mamzer, why would he be liable for hitting and causing a blemish to his father? But Kari Khan, you should apply the pasuk in Shemayis that says, V'nasi va'am chaleitar. It says that one should not curse a prince amongst his people. Now, what the drasha is, what do you mean ba'amcha? So it's ba'isa ma'isa amcha. It's only if someone, this person that you're cursing or that you're hitting, if you're causing pain to this person that you're liable for him, has to be that he's one of your people. He does the actions of your people. Now, this father is not included in amcha because he actually had relations with an illicit relationship, and that's how this child was born in the first place. He's a mamza for a reason. Now, that means to say that his father does not keep the halachas of arayas, and therefore he's not isa amcha. So why is he liable for hitting him if he's not even included in amcha? So the Gemara says, k'da'amar of pichas meshmeder apapa, like he says in Masechtas Chagiga, perchem ba'kodesh, where that's in the context of ganav, and they return something that he stole, that we say he's believed regarding the tahiris. He could say that he didn't touch the inside of the klicheris, and hence what's inside will not be considered tamei. And that Rav Papa said, that's only ba'isa tshuva. He explained the qualification is that if he's repenting, and that's why he's returning the stolen object, he's not going to be lying about the tahara. I mean, he generally wouldn't believe him. But if he's returning, it must be he's trying to do the right thing, and that's why we believe him regarding that he's saying the truth. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, we could say the same qualification as kish'asa tshuva. When he repented, if he repented, then he's a full-fledged Jew. Tshuva is a halacha that makes him like a regular Jew. Now the Gemara asks, is that really so? V'hai bar tshuvahu, is someone who had an illicit relationship and had an illegitimate child from that woman, is he someone that could repent to make him back to amcha? But v'tnan, we learned in the Mishnah Chagiga that says, Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, izehu mu'uvus lo yochel iskan, who is included in the pasuk that says that this is a crooked thing that cannot be fixed? It's too late. Zehabala erva, this is someone that has relations with someone that's an illicit relationship to him. B'hayli men amamzer, and has a child of mamzer. You have this illegitimate child running around. There's no way to undo that. This will forever be a stain, a blemish on your soul. So I think Gemara says, you're right. But hashtemiya, but now that he did do tshuva, he did charata, he regretted, he said vidu, confession, he did azir sachet, he didn't go back now anymore to doing those forbidden sins. So ultimately now, he he is considered someone that does the actions of your people. Meaning, although you're right, his sin is revealed. Every time this child is seen, everyone's going to say, there goes the illegitimate child. And that's something that lo yachol liskan, you can't undo that. You can't make like it never happened. But from the moment he does tshuva, he's back to isa ma'asamcha, and therefore the child, this mamzer, would be liable for hitting and creating a maka, a blemish, a type of a wound on his father, because his father is considered isa ma'asamcha. Now the Gemara continues, Tanya Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, which is going to come into discussion regarding that we just spoke about, regarding a shivcha and an akum, that the daughter of such a relationship does not have the paternal relationship, but takes after the mother. So the Gemara will introduce the following discussion, which will then come back to this discussion. The Braisa says the following machloikis. Habal achaysev, someone has relations with his sister. Now, v'hibas eshes aviv, she's also additionally not just his sister, but also his father's wife's daughter. Now, what that means, as Rashi explains, it means to say that it wasn't born to him out of wedlock, rather it's born to him through marriage. So, again, it's his sister. But more than that is that it's also his father's wife's daughter. I mean, he could have a daughter, which would be his sister out of wedlock. That would be an anusa. But more than just that, being his sister, it was also through marriage that he had this daughter. So that the Tatan, the Kam, the Chum say, Chayiv Misham Achaisa, so you're liable for the fact that she's your sister, because you both have the same father. But more than that is, Misham Baseish Asavim. She's also your father's wife's daughter. And therefore, since it was through marriage, it's going to be also, as the Pasuk says, a different Isser of Baseish Asavim. That's the Tatan, the Kam. Rabbi Yisrael, he says, no, Eina Chayiv El Misham Achaisa Bovat. Although that she's technically your sister, and more than that, it's also your father's wife's daughter, but you're only going to be liable for the fact that she's your sister and not for the fact that she's your father's wife's daughter. Now the Gemara explains this machlokes. My time at Rabban, what's the reason Rabban that say you're liable for both Isur? So Amri, they say, Mechti, let's see. Because if it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, Ervas Achaischa, the erva of your sister, Basa Vichoi Basi Mecha, whether it's the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, which that sounds like no matter how the child was born, whether it was out of wedlock or through marriage, doesn't make a difference. Your sister is your sister, whether she's your paternal sister, your maternal sister, she's your sister. That's the Isser of the Ervas of the sister. Now it also says, Ervas bas eches avicha, the erva of the daughter of your father's wife, meledes avicha, born through your father, acheschahi, she's your sister, lomali. Now the question is, why do I need that pasuk? In other words, because that is your sister. When she's bas aviv, when she's the meledes avicha, born to your father, why do I need another pasuk telling you that it's prohibited to marry, to have relations with your father's wife's daughter? Now, that's obviously through your father, is meledes avicha. It's not just happened to be her daughter. So what more are we saying that we didn't already know from the first pasuk? That one cannot have relations with his sister. That means that they have the same father. So what's the difference now over here that it's your father got married to a woman and had a daughter more than just being your sister? So the Chacham say, from there you see that obviously to make one liable for two negative prohibitions, Mishum Achaisa, one is that she's your sister, Mishum Baseish Asav, and also that would be, Achaisa would be even if she's your sister out of wedlock. Now, what the second Pasuk is coming to include is, if the daughter was born through marriage, that is another, an additional one, and therefore if one violates this, has a relationship with this woman by mistake, inadvertently, so he's going to be liable for two chatois. One for the fact that she's his sister, which again, that could be whether through marriage or not. And then for the fact that it's also bas eish asav, it's also the daughter of his father through marriage. That's what the Chacham hold. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Amakra, the Pasuk says, meaning the Pasuk, the second one that we quoted, that of bas eishes avicha, if she's the daughter of your father's wife, then achaischahi, it says there in the Pasuk, she's your sister. Now, that sounds like it's an exclusionary type of a term. What's that excluding? So that Rabbi Yehuda says, the Pasuk's coming to tell you, mishum achaisyat mechaivai, you know what you're going to be liable for such a woman? Only for the fact that she's your sister. And you're not going to have an additional prohibition of not just the fact that she's your sister, but that she's also your father's daughter through marriage, meaning your father's wife's daughter. Because that, why would it say achaischahi? It's coming to tell you that no, that you're not liable for that. You're only liable for the fact that she's your sister, which the Gemara later on will explain. So then why does it say there in the Pasuk erva, that it's the erva of the daughter of your father's wife, if there's no extra erva of that, it's just the erva that we mentioned before, two psukim before, of that she's your sister. But that's how Rabbi Yosef Behuda interprets the pasuk. It's just coming to, actually, the pasuk is itself telling you that you're only liable for achayischa. The Gemara says, Rabbanan, hi achayischa hi mayav delay. So what do they do with those words, achayischa hi? Sounds like it's exclusionary, saying that, oh, she's only your sister. And what is she not? She's not also your father's wife's daughter. But according to Chacham, that's not true. They hold that you're liable for both Yisurim. So the Gemara says, Mibayilahu l'chai v'al achayse. They required it for a sister that was born out of wedlock, that's bas aviv ubas imay, that's both the daughter of his father and his mother. As Rashi explains the case, it's told me that both him and his sister were born out of wedlock to their parents. Now, the reason is from the previous pasuk, and pasuk test, two pasukim before, the first one that we quoted, which is the pasuk that teaches us of the prohibition of one's sister even out of wedlock, we would not know that one would be liable if she's your sister through your father and your mother. In other words, we would have thought only if she's your sister paternally or only maternally. And that's the reason is because the pasuk, when it says bas avicha oy bas imecha, if she's the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother. Now, I would not have known that the same thing would apply if she's the daughter of your father and your mother. Now, as Rashi says, although the pasuk does say in pasuk yudav bas eshes avicha, the daughter of your father's wife, which sounds like whether it's his mother or it's not his mother, so therefore you see that it is the truth even if it's both, that's only talking about through marriage, as it says, Aishas. But for the previous pasuk of Einzin, of out of wedlock, we would not have known. We would have thought it to say it's only Bas Imoy or Bas Aviv. That's why the pasuk says, Achayischa hi, to tell you that not only will the previous pasuk, which create a liability for your sister, even out of wedlock, only if it's bas aviv or bas imay, actually it's going to be even if it's both. Even if she's your sister through your father and through your mother. Now one would wonder, what do you mean? Isn't that a kal v'chomer? That's what it's teaching is lema she'in masir min adin. That drasha, which the pasuk is coming to include from achayischa hi, is telling you that you do not make a prohibition in the Torah based on the kal v'chomer. Now although kal v'chomer is one of the yud gimel midas, shatei nedrasha b'hem, you can make kal v'chomer in halacha, but to create an iser, you cannot, and therefore if the pasuk only tells you bas av or bas imay, it would only be either one or the other. That's why Chayischa hi comes to include and say, no, your sister, no matter how she's your sister, even if she's both from your father and your mother, which although one would think, of course, if she's my sister from either one, for sure from both, that's not true. Since the Torah didn't say it, we would not have known it if not for Chayischa hi. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, he would respond, Im Kain, if the interpretation was like the Chacham, I agree that you would not have known that if she's your sister out of wedlock, that you both have the same mother and father, that you were, you had, they had a relationship for many years out of wedlock and had this boy and had this girl. But he, lamali, so Achayischa is telling you that. But why do I need he? He is an exclusionary criteria. It's saying that, oh, she is your sister and whatnot. It must be like what I'm saying, Mishum Achayischa at Mechayva, because such a woman, you're only going to make her liable for the fact that she's a sister. V'yat Mechayva Mishum Basayish Sav, and you're not going to make it liable for the fact, like the Chum want to say, that as the beginning of the Pasuk makes it sound like, as that because she's also your father's daughter through marriage, your father's wife's daughter, that is not going to be an additional liability, because that's what he's coming to exclude. But Rabbanan, they respond, no. Avagav Dechsev Achayischa, even though it says Achayischa, which we're both agreeing is coming to include that it's if your sister's out of wedlock from both your father and your mother, but Itzuch Mechtav He was still necessary to write He. And the reason is to reveal this halacha regarding Kolar Tarakula. Shalai Terma Ba'alma Masir Menatin, that we shouldn't say at all. I mean, this is the source to say that we never say that we're going to create an Isser based on the Kal V'chomer, and to say that, no, maybe generally we would think to say that it is a full-fledged lav. Now, then the question would be, V'chitim Achayischa Dekaz Rachman Olamali. So then why does the Torah say Achayischa hi? Obviously, that we're not Mazir Min Adin. In other words, he's explaining, the Chacham are explaining the opinion. Why would I have thought that you need to have he? Why do you need he? Achayischa tells you, what do you mean? Why are you telling me that the Bas Aviv and Bas Ima is Asur by out of wedlock? Must be, because you cannot make Azara, make a lav from a Kal V'chomer. And that was saying that no. Because maybe we would say milsa da asu b'kal v'chomer, maybe something that could be learned from a kal v'chomer and would create a halacha from a kal v'chomer. But tarach v'kasav akra, that's a Talmudic dictum which says elsewhere that there are times where, although the Torah could have known it from a kal v'chomer, the Torah wanted to tell you explicitly in the pasuk anyway. And therefore, I would have thought to say that maybe actually this love of this sister out of wedlock from both father and mother would have been known from a Kal Vachomer. It's just the Pasuk wanted to go through the extra mile and tell it to you explicitly anyway. But fundamentally, we would be Masir Min Adin. That's why Kazach Monahi, that's why it says he, to tell you that no, the reason why over here this woman is liable, even though you have both the same father and mother, is only because the Pasuk is including it from Achaischa. But generally, a Nazhara's din from a Kal Vachomer would not be a Nazhara, and that we only know from the term he. Because if I only said Achaischa, even though it's including it, I would have thought to say, oh, because Tarech v'Kas v'Akra, but generally would be Masir Min Adin. He tells you that we're not Masir Min Adin ever in any situation. Now the Gemara says, but Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why he argues on the Chacham, he says, Im Kain, if it was true like the Chacham, that you have one Pasuk that already says that there's a prohibition of Achaischa for your sister, no matter if it was through marriage, out of wedlock, now, then why does it have another Pasuk of Ervas, the Bas Aishas Aviv? Why does it have that other Pasuk for? So they say, it comes to tell you, that when one has relations with his sister, if it was that sister was born through marriage, it's going to be an additional Issa. It says, if that was the case, that's what's coming to tell you. There's two Pasukim. The first Pasuk they bring down Pasuk Tes, and then there's a Pasuk Yud Alef. It shouldn't have said it in Pasuk Yud Alef, it should have said it in Pasuk Tes. Meaning, when it talks about the prohibition of one sister, Chayischa, your sister, Basavicha, the daughter of your father, where there it doesn't talk about that it has to be through marriage to make her your sister. Where there we learn that even if it was out of wedlock, there's a prohibition. Now, the reason is because by marriage, it already tells us whether it was through Bas Aviv or Bas Imoy. So why is it saying Achayischa over here by Bas Eishas Aviv must be? Rabbi Yehuda is saying is coming to tell you what I'm telling you. That even though, the Pasuk is saying, even though she's Bas Eishas Aviv, but it's qualifying, it's saying, Achaischa, you're only going to be liable for the fact that she's your sister, because if it was like you, that it's coming to tell you that the sister violation, which would even be out of wedlock, is saying, but if she's also the sister through marriage, that then there's going to be an additional Isser, it should have said it there, because that would be adding on to that Isser. Why is it saying this Pasuk? Obviously, the way I'm interpreting. But then the Gemara asks, which was the glaring question all along, so what exactly does he do with this? He doesn't hold there is such an Isser at all. Meaning one sister doesn't make a difference how she's your sister through that maternally, paternally, marriage, out of wedlock, she's your sister. So what more is being added on that you can't have relations with your father's daughter through marriage? What do you mean through marriage? It never has to be through marriage, even out of wedlock. So what's being added on? And it's not like the Chacham hold that it's coming to tell you a second Isser. So the Gemara says, Nami Baile, he needs it to tell the following halacha. That this Isser of one sister is only Misha Yeshla Ishis La Vichaba. The reason why it calls it that the daughter of your father through marriage means to say it has to, yes, it doesn't have to be through marriage, and it's not going to be a double Isser. It just means to say it's qualifying what type of sister is your sister to be an Isser Erva of one sister is only if the mother that created this daughter is someone that the father could potentially, halachically, have a marriage to. Now that's prat, that's coming to exclude, and this is why we brought in this sugya over here, la'achayisei mishivcha v'avedeskechav. If it's his sister, even though they have the same father, but it's a maidservant that gave birth to her, or a non-Jewish woman, she'ein ishas lavichaba, where his father cannot have a halachic marriage. And that's because Kedushin is not toiv, as the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin on Daf Samachesim and Alf says, that because a shivcha is a amadoim lechamor, they're a nation that's compared to donkeys. And the non-Jewish woman, as it says by the parasha of Yefas Torah in the Varm Chaf Aleph, says that the only way you can marry her is you do that whole procedure, and then ube alta, but it sounds like from before, then there wouldn't be a marriage. And that's what it's coming to exclude, that when it says your father's daughter through marriage, it doesn't mean it has to be through marriage. And you're not going to get a double Isser for that. It means your sister in all circumstances. That's why it says Achaischa. So why does it say Ishis? It tell you that it has to be that he could have had a marriage with that woman that created this daughter, which makes it his sister. But the Gemara asked, why? Why do you say that? Ve'ema actually prat l'achaischa manusa. Maybe say it's coming to exclude if it's his sister out of wedlock. Maybe that the pasuk is qualifying Achaischa. Maybe the Isser of the one sister is not going to be out of wedlock because the Pasuk is qualifying it, saying it only if it's the daughter of your father through Eishes, through marriage. Now the Gemara says, Nahilo Matzisamit. You can't say that midirava, as will be illustrated from Rava's Drush, because the Rava posed the following contradiction. On the one hand, there's a pasuk of Yirka that says, "Ervas bas bincha oy bas bitcha lesegali." One cannot have relations with his son's daughter or his daughter's daughter. Now, the inference of that pasuk is that habas bina dida, but if it's his wife's granddaughter through her son, or ubas bita dida, or her daughter's daughter, that show that would be permitted because it's saying his grandchild, but not her grandchild. But then it says later on in the pasuk, it says ervas isha bita lesegali. One cannot have relations with a woman and her daughter, neither as bas b'no as bas b'ita, or with her son's daughter, or with her daughter's daughter. So how to resolve the contradiction? First pasuk makes it sound like it's only through him, not through her. Second one sounds like, explicitly, that's even her grandchild. So that the Rava resolves, it says, Khan, over here where it says, ervas bas b'ncha, which sounds like it's only a problem if it's through your child, then your granddaughter's a problem. That's b'ainsin. That's if that child was born out of wedlock. Then there's the issa b'lisagala, but her son's daughter, meaning if that was from a different man, then that wouldn't be a problem because actually that's not your wife. That wouldn't be a problem of isha ubas b'na ubas bita, because although it's her grandchild, it's not your grandchild, she came in from a different marriage, and since she's not your wife, because it was out of wedlock, so then actually it will not be a violation. So if someone has relations with a woman, her granddaughter, if it was out of wedlock, can go ahead and marry that granddaughter. It's only his own granddaughter, even out of wedlock, would be a problem. Kan benisuin. However, over here where we said that it's going to be a problem, even as the pasuk says, an isha ubas bita, means that if he marries a woman, then her granddaughter is going to be forbidden. But out of wedlock, that would be okay. But one thing that we see that the Gemara is proving from Rava is that when he has a son out of wedlock, that it is considered his son, it is considered his daughter. That's what we're saying the case of his son is, even though it was out of wedlock, because then it's not her son to make it her granddaughter. Therefore, the same thing would apply regarding brotherhood and sisterhood, that it would be considered a relative, and that's why the halacha of achaisai would definitely apply to a sister out of wedlock, and that is therefore the reason why it cannot be what's being excluded by the daughter of Esha Savicha, must be what that excluding is not anusa, because that actually is considered achaisai, it is his sister, as we see it's considered the father's daughter and therefore grandchild. Rather, must be excluding, again, if it was a daughter born from a shivcha or if it's kechavim, where there, as the Gemara Masechta Kedushin learns, you can't even have kedushin. It's not toivus in the first place, and that's what's being excluded. But again, not the halacha of the sister through anusa out of wedlock.